See everybody this morning. Wow, I thank God for our little ones. You know, we need that reminder about our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing he can't do. Nothing. And you know, sometimes we face with that those trials and difficulties. And I was just, as they were singing, I was like, man, you know, wow, I needed that reminder for myself. I received it for myself just from them singing it. It's just such a blessing to have our little ones worship and serve the Father like they do. It's just an honor, and I appreciate them so much. I really, really, really do. I received a text from Pastor this morning. He said everything is good. They got back yesterday from off the cruise. He said just to tell everybody how much he misses y'all and loves y'all. And I responded with the saying that, you know, we definitely miss them. And, you know, we can't wait for them to get back. We're glad that they get to go and spend that time with, you know, and relax. And you know, just to, you know, he's studying, first of all. I mean, we call it relaxing, but, I mean, we just had this conversation the other night. Last night coming home from the restaurant, just how many hours he puts in, you know. It's just, when does he sleep? How does he sleep? We don't know that. But some way, somehow, the Father is the only God that he finds the strength to do what he does day in and day out. But we appreciate them and love them, and we're definitely missing them also. Like to thank our Indiana family from taking that drive all the way. Dangerous drive. The roads was icy. It was scary one point in time. He said the truck was sideways and it was going parallel with the guardrail. I mean, that's scary, man. But we thank them. It's always an honor and a privilege to have them when they come. You know, we go up there in July, and I just feel like when we leave, it takes forever for that next July to come, because you want to get back up there and spend time with them, because it's such a blessing to be part of their lives, and they're part of our lives. And they brought us a extra special gift this go round. They brought Cam, first trip to Louisiana, and as soon as they walked in last night, I'm telling you, the whole church was like, Cam, Cam, Cam. And Brother AJ was like, okay, what about us? I mean, it's not like Cam drove himself here. I mean, we're here too. But you know, that's when you got that special gift and people don't get to see them often, that's what they do. Your parents are forgot about, you know. It's about all about that little man. And I tell you, he's something special. What I like about him is that he's a 49ers fan. Y'all don't know that, but he is. I got the picture to prove it. And Brother AJ can testify to that, because they put it on him, and he tried to take it off of him, and he cried. He wanted that red and gold on. So I am not the only 49ers fan down here for this month in this church. So I appreciate it. Two things we have in common, that and outside the church, besides his wife and his kids, we both love Brother Troy, me and him. So me and Cam, hey, we got it going on, me and him. God's put people in your lives to strengthen you and encourage you, and he put that little man in my life to strengthen and encourage me, you know, for two reasons. Our 49 is going to be great one day again, and that we just love Brother Troy, me and him together. So we just thank him again for being here. It's such an honor, and I just want to tell them how much we appreciate them and love them. We are in the understanding the words of Jesus. We've been in it for quite some time now, a couple months. And we came to a little stop, a little pause almost, when we came into that Nicodemus account in that John 3. And, you know, he talks about, he's having this conversation with Nicodemus, and he's talking about being born again. And you can't be born again and see the kingdom of God, see the kingdom of Yahweh. And so we've been on that, about the kingdom. What does it really mean about seeing the kingdom? And I forgot to get started right here. Talking, having too much fun about Cam. Forgot to press play. And that's where we're at. Brother Herman shared with us last night, you know, the importance of how not to be deceived. You know, that Satan has ministers. And it's so important about, you know, seeing, understanding the words of Jesus, because you'll know what kingdom he's talking about and what kingdom he's referring to. And in that, our starting slide was that John 6:63. I'll just read that one right quick. I didn't put it into the slides, but it says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth it. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." If he says that the words are spirit and they are life, we should really, really take our time and see about understanding what that means. You know, how important that is, spirit and life. That's important words right there. They are spirit and life. That's very important. So we're on this one. This is like our second week right here with dealing with what is the kingdom of Yahweh. And we see in Matthew 13:44-53, Yeshua right here is talking about, he's explaining what the kingdom is to them. And he's explaining to them in parables. And I thought this was very interesting, the parable that he put. And I said 44, but it's starting with verse 43. 13, verse 43 in Matthew. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hid it. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buyeth that field." We was just singing that song. You beckon me to leave all that I've known, everything. And that's for us to understand that kingdom and to see that kingdom that he's talking about. That's one of the things that we're going to have to do, to get rid of everything, to give it all to him. Our life is not our own. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, whom when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yeshua said unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yeah, master. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Yeshua had finished these parables, he departed thence." That's a powerful, powerful parable that he explained to his disciples. You got to sell everything. You can't hold on to nothing. Your life is not our own. We got to give it all to him. You know, and Sister Linda mentioned about, you know, this is the words of Jesus and how important, you know, his words are. And she just exhorted us a little bit about, you know, following his footsteps. If you ever, I was thinking about that when she said that. And if you're ever walking in the sand, you're following somebody. It's hard to step exactly in their footsteps. You see a whole bunch of footsteps, you know, in the sand behind you. But how, you know, I want to follow our Messiah, our rabbi, to where so closely to where when he step, I step. He step, I step. I don't want to see two footprints in the sand behind us. I want to be exactly in his will. Because he was in the Father's will. He did nothing outside his Father's will, nothing at all. Everything the Father said to do, he did. And what a life. And if he succeeded with following that, there is no doubt that we can succeed if we do that according to his will. What did Yeshua preach about? And we're going to talk about that later on down. Brother Herman mentioned this last night. If you didn't get the CD, if you wasn't here last night, get the CD. You enjoy it, I promise you. And you're going to see things throughout this whole teaching. You might hear one of us guys say it multiple times. Pastor will say it. You know, it's going to be repetitious because it's so important, some of the things that it needs to be brought out 3-4 times in a service. It says, Satan has ministers who appear to be ministers of Elohim. And that's a true statement. And that's why it's important to understand the words of Jesus. Because his ministers is not going to teach the truth. They're not going to speak the truth. And if you don't understand his words, we will be deceived. That's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, the very two perfect people in the garden was deceived by him. So we have to understand his words and apply it to our lives. Not just be a hearer of the word. We've got to be a doer of the word. We got to work the word, like Sister Linda says. You've got to work the word for that simple reason, because Satan has ministers who appear to be ministers of Elohim. And so we got to be on our game. First Peter 2:1-3, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And listen to what Peter is saying right here. He's telling us if there was false prophets back then, you best believe that they're going to be false, that there is false teachers among us today, who privately shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Wow. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with fringe words make merchandise of you. And Brother Herman also, he explained that what that word merchandise means in last night's teaching. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their condemnation slumber not. Acts 20:28-30. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now this is a warning. They're giving us a warning right here. Over the which the Holy Spirit had made you overseers to feed the assembly of Elohim, which he had purchased with his own blood. Thank God for the blood of our Yeshua Messiah that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, all sins. If it wasn't for that blood, we would be in a bond. We would live in sin forever if it wasn't for the blood of him. Thank him for being that willing sacrifice. He says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. You think this is not important about knowing the words of Jesus and understanding his words? Because if we don't, you ain't going to tell. They said, the wolves come in sheep clothing? That's scary. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples from them. But Herman made a statement last night. It's our responsibility to not be deceived. It's our own responsibility. We can't blame nobody. Can't blame a pastor. Can't blame a brother, a sister in Christ. Can't blame the church. And people do it. They do it every single day. They do it. But we can't blame nobody for our lack in studying, our lack in praying. It's our own responsibility not to be deceived. And if we know what the truth is, false will always be false. And that's so true. If we know the truth, if I know that it's raining outside, and somebody try to tell me different, but I know the truth that is reigning. I see it. I hear it. A lie will always be a lie. False will always be false. That was a powerful statement last night that he brought out. 2 Corinthians 11, 10 through 15. As the truth of Messiah is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Because I love you not, Elohim know it. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. We've got to be very, very careful about these so-called apostles. You know, people that's calling themselves apostles and prophets out there, they all over. All you got to do is turn on the TV or listen to a radio station. There's many of them. And deceiving many, deceiving thousands, deceiving about a thousand people are being deceived. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Transformed as ministers of righteousness. And how you check that out? Check it out with the word. See if it matches scripture. I can promise you it won't. It's not going to match it. You'll be able to tell it. These false teachings seek to justify sin as being acceptable to God, denies our need for his grace, appeals to some authority outside of the Bible, and shows acceptance to all religions, beliefs, and lifestyles. And we see that, and it's all exclusive. We got these all exclusive denomination, churches, everything goes. You know, you can do what you want throughout the week. Come on Sunday. Hey, I'm a good guy. I went to church Sunday. He understands. But how can you deny his grace? If it wasn't for his grace, where would we be? How can you deny the grace of God? I'm so thankful for his grace. Because if it wasn't for his grace, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing today. I couldn't stand up here today and tell you about his goodness and try to explain to you the words of our Messiah if it wasn't for the grace of God. There's no way possible. Yeshua's message, an advance announcement. Like a newscaster far ahead of his time, Yeshua came to make an announcement about a complete change in the way the world would one day be governed. With this change would come unprecedented world peace, happiness, harmony, universal health, and prosperity. That's a serious change. And you know, it was like that in the very beginning. It was just like that. But because of one man's sin, all this entered into the world. But one day, this is all going to be back restored, back to its original. And what a day that's going to be. What a day. Everywhere he went, Yeshua spoke about the kingdom of Elohim. It was the subject of the most of his parables when he commissioned his 12 apostles and sent them to preach. The instruction was to preach about the kingdom of God. Luke 9, 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of Elohim and to heal the sick. He didn't give them just power over some. He said he gave them power over all devils and to cure disease. And that same power that he gave them is the same power that resides in us today. We have that same power. We can do the same exact things if we just believe. The purpose in this teaching is to describe in uncomplicated language what I think the Bible tells us about Elohim, about what the creator of the universe had in mind when he created the heavens and the earth, about Elohim's grand design. What is his great purpose for you and for the world? I want to explain to you what he expects of you and me in whatever condition we find ourselves. What Elohim's goal is for you as you battle your way through life's difficulties. And I want to show you what Elohim has in store for those who really love him and his son Yeshua. Listen to what he says in that in the middle part. And what Elohim's goal is for you as you battle your way through life's difficulties. We're going to go through tribulations. We're going to go through difficulties. That's just part of life. But that still don't define, that still don't undermine who he is and what his word says about us and his promises are yes and amen. So, you know, these when we face them, we shouldn't fret that we face difficulties. We just push through it. Persevere. He who endures to the end shall be saved. People pursue goals in different fields with single-mindedness. They often give themselves wholeheartedly to the pursuit of goals which have no ultimate value. Is it too much to ask that we dedicate ourselves to gaining immortality? The only goal which really lasts and lasts forever. And that's just, we just, you know, that was part of the song too that we just sung. His kingdom lasts forever. Your throne is forever. We go so hard and, you know, after other goals and instead of the one that really, really matters. If we would put the time and effort and the dedication into searching out his kingdom like we do in other things, our lives would be 10 times better. 10 times better. But yet, you know, we tend to always want to do it our way, you know, like we know what's better than what he knows was better for our life. The one who created us before who knew everything about us before the foundation of the world, the scripture says. What goal did Yeshua present to his audience? What was the heart and core of all of his preaching and teaching? Without a grasp of the kingdom, which is the axis around which all of Yeshua's preaching and teaching revolves, we cannot hope to understand his gospel message. Just open your Bible to Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, and you will find Yeshua telling us there what he was all about. You will find him in that verse giving his mission statement, the purpose for all his preaching and teaching, the reason for his whole activity in the service of Elohim, his Father. You will find here Yeshua's precious master word, the genesis of all he stood for and loved. And look what Luke 4:43 is. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of Yahweh to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. He was sent for one reason. For many reasons, but the main goal was not to just die and be on the cross and die for our sins. He was sent to preach the kingdom of Yahweh. He says that's his words. And then he said, these words are not my words. These words are the Father's. Yeshua was an impassionate preacher of what he called the gospel, the good news about the kingdom of Yahweh. Elohim sent him, commissioned him, authorized him to do just that. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. You will find in Luke 5:1 that people listening to the gospel of the kingdom were listening to what Luke calls the word of Elohim. Luke 5:1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of Elohim, to hear the gospel of the kingdom, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now the phrase, word of Elohim, is one which you really must understand. You really must understand what he's talking about. Hence the title, Understanding the Words of Jesus. If you are going to make sense of the Bible, and especially the New Testament books, since the gospel of the kingdom is the heart and core of everything Yeshua said and did, it is natural for those to refer to that great saving gospel message about the kingdom simply as the word of Elohim, which means the message, the gospel message. In Acts, we very often read that the preachers preach the word. What does that mean? Is that just a general and vague statement about preaching anywhere from the Bible? No. The word or word of Elohim is the specific gospel, specific, not Pacific, that's a gulf or body of water, preaching about the kingdom of Yahweh that goes back to Yeshua's own preaching. It is a body of water. Luke 13:42-44. That word is giving me trouble, so I kind of have to define it for y'all to understand it, which you already know, though. Luke 13:42-44. And when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of Elohim. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Elohim. So there was, you know, what he was, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. That's why the whole city, it says, almost the whole city together to hear the word of Elohim. So what he was speaking is, it was intriguing to them. It's something that caught their attention. And it's something that should catch our attention today. You know, when we read these words, you know, you should be wanting more. You should have a hunger inside you that's raising up, because you can't get enough of it. Because, like he said, my words are spirit and they are life. Acts 8:1-12. And Saul was consenting unto his debt. And at that time there was a great persecution against the assembly, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the assembly, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Messiah unto them. Preaching Messiah and preaching the word is preaching the kingdom. Because if you're preaching him, you're preaching the kingdom. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. Miracles happen when you preach that word. When you preach the truth and you believe it, miracles happen. That was what was happening right here. And Saul was furious because of the word. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of Elohim. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching, look what they believed, the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh and the name of Yeshua Messiah, they were baptized, both men and women. This was not a general lecture on the Bible. It was the gospel as Yeshua had preached it. Acts 8:12 defines the word for us beautifully. The word is the core of the Bible. The Bible is certainly the words of Elohim, but the heart of the Bible is called the gospel, or the word, or word of Elohim, many times in the New Testament. To misunderstand that phrase, word of Elohim, is to throw away a very great key to understanding the teaching of Yeshua. It is to throw away a key to Elohim's immortality plan for you. So I put the wrong scripture? Let me go back. Oh. Well, maybe I marked it wrong. I'll let you know right now. Yep, Acts 13. I'm sorry. Good catch, brother. Appreciate that. See, that's good. You see that you people's following along. I'm glad you caught that. So it's Acts 13. I'm sorry. Acts 13:42-44. You had me sweating up here. No, Acts. That's what, hey, we need an Acts, man. That's what's wrong. Sometimes you feel you don't want to Acts, and you're nervous about Acts, but hey, we're gonna get this done. Thank you for making me lose my spot. I think we're right. let's see. Right. Let's go over this one more time. To misunderstand that phrase, word of Elohim, is to throw away a very great key to understanding the teaching of Elohim. It is to throw away a key to Elohim's immortality plan for you. And how important that is. Who wants to do that? Who wants to throw away a key of immortality to live forever in his kingdom? Wow. You know, it's, you wonder sometimes of, you know, what people are thinking when they, you know, they just misquote scripture and don't really go back to study it out. You know, just because granddaddy and great granddaddy told you about it, you go along with the flow instead of going to look at it for yourself. Yeshua was the first and preacher of the saving gospel. He was first author of it. And it is quite untrue, in fact, a distorious mistake to say that Yeshua's gospel was meant for Jews only. It is meant for everyone. Hebrews 2:3 is a verse which everyone should memorize. Everybody should memorize it now, because listen, it's like you said, it's meant not just for the Jews, it's meant for everyone. How shall we escape, Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Master and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So it was confirmed unto everybody that heard him, not just the Jews. But Yeshua was the very first one to confirm it. And a great salvation, it said. If you are interested in salvation, you must therefore determine to find out what Yeshua preached. and the gospel about the kingdom is for everyone. So thankful that we're going through this again. This is our second go through, but we slowed it down a little bit and going line upon line and precept upon precept. The heart of Christianity, the kingdom of God. Our Christian documents point to one undeniable fact. Yeshua was concerned above all with the gospel about the kingdom of Elohim. The kingdom is the center of his entire mission. It is his watchword and the nucleus of all his teaching. He announced that it was at hand, demonstrated its power in his ministry, promised it as a reward to his disciples, and urged them to pray for its coming. He also assured his followers that they would one day occupy executive positions as ministers of state in the kingdom. If it's a reward for his disciples, guess what? It's a reward for us. We have that same reward. Luke 22:28-30. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father had appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What a promise. Yeshua is the first model preacher of immortality. Here is how Paul put this fascinating and important concept. Paul wrote to Timothy, his student in the faith, that Yeshua had brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel. In 2 Timothy 1:1-10, we want to see what he's talking about. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua, Messiah, by the will of Elohim. Notice, by the will of Elohim. Always in his will. Never out of the will of the Father. Such a life lesson to learn for us today. To stay in the will of the Father no matter what. To follow his words, you know, even when it don't make no sense. To say, okay, Father, this is what you're saying, then I'm going to do it. It don't make no sense right now. You know, it might look very difficult that it might happen, but I'm going to trust you. According to the promise of life, which is in Messiah Yeshua, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from Yahweh the Father and Messiah Yeshua, our Master. There go that word grace again. From Yahweh the Father and Messiah Yeshua, our Master. But yet they want to throw away grace. I thank Elohim whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of Elohim, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For Elohim had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, fear can grab a hold of you. And it could cause you to doubt, and it cause you not to do what the Father is telling you to do. But it says, for Elohim had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Master, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of afflictions of the good news, according to the power of Elohim. That's the kind of prisoner I want to be. I want to be a prisoner of thy master. You know, I was a prisoner of many other things before, and it was chaos. But to be a prisoner of him, you don't mind that. Who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Messiah Yeshua before the world began, but is now made manifested by the appearing of our Savior Yeshua, Messiah, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the good news. There it is. Stop and ponder that wonderful statement. It was Yeshua preaching the gospel of the kingdom who brought the secret of how to live forever to light. It was in Yeshua's message and in no other that we are invited to find the amazing secret of living eventually forever. Both Yeshua and Paul were impassionate kingdom preachers. And let's look at some of these scriptures. We're going to cover Yeshua's scriptures first, and then we'll see a couple from Paul. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Yeshua began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. Passionate, impassionate preacher. Matthew 4:23, just a couple verses down. And Yeshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Matthew 9:35. And Yeshua went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Everywhere he went, that's all he preached. He didn't preach nothing else. It wasn't another gospel. He preached the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. Mark 1:14-15. Now after that John was put into prison, Yeshua came into Galilee, preaching the good news of the kingdom of Elohim, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Repent ye and believe the good news." See how important it is to understand the words of Jesus? All he did was preach the good news of the gospel, of the kingdom. That's all he preached, everywhere he went. Luke 8:1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of Yahweh, and the 12 were with him. Let's look at Paul in Acts 19:1-8. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believe?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Messiah Yeshua." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the sovereign Yeshua. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh. Acts 28:30-31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Received all. Meaning, you know, if you didn't, even if you disagree with him, he still received you because he had a mission. Preaching the kingdom of Yahweh and teaching those things which concern the sovereign Yahweh, Yeshua Messiah, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Acts 28:23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Yahweh, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Preaching the kingdom from morning till evening. We have seen how the gospel of the kingdom is one continuous message throughout the Bible. We are all called to preach the gospel, but not to try to change the world. That's where we get ourselves in trouble sometimes. Just stick to the script. Do what Paul and Yeshua did. Follow their footsteps. Preach the gospel. The world will be changed when Yeshua returns. We just make known the message of what is coming, and that is his kingdom. That's the message that's coming. And that's all I have for today. That was a lot of scripture, huh? But it's so much, the kingdom is so much to talk about. And then just that was a lot of scripture, and then we got that much more. It's what Pastor said, 4 weeks, and he wasn't lying. I mean, you just stop. You just put so many slides. There's so much more to talk about. So much more scripture to talk about of the kingdom of Yahweh. So you think that what Nicodemus, that talk he's having with Nicodemus wasn't important about the kingdom of Yahweh? We got a good little while left talking about this kingdom. So much more to talk about, and I'm enjoying every minute and every second that I get to sit down and, you know, dig in, because, you know, the ultimate goal is to see that kingdom, to live forever. It's so important that we grab hold of that, not only for immortality, but so we won't be deceived. It said the very elect will be deceived. If the very elect will be deceived, I think it's very important that we understand what they're talking about, and understanding the words of Jesus and understanding his kingdom, what kingdom he's talking about. So I want to thank y'all. I appreciate y'all so much for coming out this morning. You know, he's so good, and he deserves all the glory and the honor and the praise. And I just love him and appreciate him so much for everything he's done. You know, I say this time and time again, if he does nothing else for me, as long as I live, he done did enough. He sent his son, and if I can't just grab that and run with it, then I'm missing the mark. Really missing the mark if I can't just grab what he did on Calvary for me. So I'm extremely excited about continuing understanding the words of Jesus, because it's so important, so valuable to our lives, that we grab hold of this. So anybody has any prayer?